Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. This episode of Spaces Podcasts is supported by Twinmotion and by Section Cut from our friends at Monograph. You'll hear more about them later on in the episode. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Good morning, guys.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcasts Express. Thank you for joining me, everybody. Jason, you're back. You're no longer in beautiful Hawaii.
Yeah.
So people will hear you in the office and the chatter in the background.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So welcome back. You left Hawaii, an area surrounded by water.
Yep.
And news broke in Utah. They are actually in a drought, as we are here in California. Huh. But so much to the extent, I think it's in Oakley, Utah, they actually stopped growth, stopped development, because the drought was such a concern.
Didn't they try to do that in California too a couple years back? Wasn't there a push for that?
I don't recall hearing that they actually wanted to stop, like push to stop development. But I know the drought was an issue where they had us doing, you could only water your lawn on Tuesdays and Thursdays and stuff like that.
You know what's funny with the VIA? I'm pretty positive they were actually trying to get development to stop because of the use of water. And they were trying to push that that development was taking all the water as opposed to all the rundown houses that have the leaks and everything else going on, right?
Yeah.
I'm almost positive that was the case because now... That's right, because the idea back then was the efficiency of the new homes is so much better water-wise than all the other homes. And if you look at the percentage of new homes versus, you know, the percentage of what's out there, it was like a blip on the radar. I think I remember something like that.
That's funny you mention that. In one of our episodes, I think last year, it was a water treatment episode. So by 2040, I think it is, they anticipate that there will be mass water shortages and it will be inaccessible in a lot of places around the world. I think here in the US, we'll probably be able to sustain for quite some time, but in our region, the Southwest, we'll probably start to have some issues as the years go by. So we'll have to figure out some sort of solution.
Inaccessible to water.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be scary.
That's an interesting deal.
So you see people buying up water rights and starting to invest in water, the wealthy cornering the water market. this might be an issue in the coming years. Going to your previous point, we talked about in that episode, the inefficiency of infrastructure is a big part of the loss of water through leakage and just poor systems that just don't work efficiently. So an investment in our infrastructure is critical to upgrade and be able to gain some efficiency on our water usage.
Well, it's funny because I remember the other thing that people were talking about way back when was the idea that we never did a very good job of capturing water. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the rainwater and stuff like that. Like there wasn't a lot spent on the original initial infrastructure, right? That everything's being built on top of. So it's like when we finally do get water, because people forget here in Southern California, we're actually a desert.
Yeah.
I know it looks beautiful and tropical, but it's a desert. When we do get water, it just runs off, you know, just runs straight to the ocean and we don't capture it. I think Claremont or Upland, somebody did a really good job way back when, but the vast majority, we lose anything we receive anyway, you know?
Irvine here, they collect a lot of water and recycle for for all the landscape usage, which is really good. So they have their own water district and they process a lot of that water and pump it back out to use for the landscape, which cuts down significantly on water loss and usage. And we had talked about this, I think it was our third episode when we did the smart cities. Do you remember way back?
I do.
And we talked about Bill Gates' city that he was doing in Arizona. Yeah, it was in Arizona, just outside of Phoenix, I think. It was like a brand new city that he was trying to establish that was a smart city.
Yep.
And they had to go through a study to show that the increase in population would not hinder the water that was accessible to that region.
Right.
So that's kind of what is happening in Utah, is that they're looking at basically the proposed amount of people that would come in for some of these developments and their available water now and projections, and it's not looking good. So they basically put a halt to any development for the time being.
Do you know what the specifics are on that stop? Like, it's just an all out stop period, no more building. Like, how does that work, or further permits, or for new communities in general to get started? Because that's got a lot of implications either way, right?
Yeah. So these were new developments that they were stopping. And, you know, they started to look at, you know, what's going on and just said, no, this is not happening. We can't sustain. Wow.
That's interesting. That's bad in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not, you know, I always joke with everybody, if you're not growing, you're dying, right? So if you're not constantly moving forward, you got issues. So I wonder what they're saying their plan is to rectify that.
To rectify the stoppage in housing?
Yeah, you can't just be like, no, we're not doing this. You know what I mean? Like, is there some, you know, or are they just stopping it to say, we're going to evaluate how to make this happen?
Yeah, and that's the issue. People are concerned that the stoppage will worsen the affordability crisis.
Right.
But it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, how do you bring all these people in with housing and then you don't have water?
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, then yeah,
Have you seen some of that modified, the weather modification stuff people are doing? Have you seen any of that where they're literally like sending like drones and electric pulsing? They did it in like no joke. And you'll have to research it. It was, I don't know if it was Dubai or where it was, but literally the idea was it was taking all the water molecules in the air that wouldn't let them formulate to make a heavy rain cloud and make them formulate to make a heavy rain cloud. Legit weather modification. It was in the news.
Are they getting anything out of it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is weird because I'm like, you know, I'm not so sure I'm okay with this, because if you can start doing that, now we're talking hurricanes and everything else, right? But you should look it up, because I wonder if there's a legit ability to do that for areas like this, right? Like, you look at something like that, it's like, okay, you know, if that's the case, then we can create this way to generate our own water.
Yeah, I heard about it. I want to say a few years ago, people were talking about, you know, trying it. I hadn't heard that they actually attempted it.
Yeah, I want to say it was in the last week.
Okay.
That I read something about it in an actual article, not like one of my, you know, whatever ones.
Screenshots that you get forwarded.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll look into that, and maybe we can get somebody in to talk about it, because that's interesting. I mean,
get like Johnny Mountain or Dallas Rains or something.
Yeah. Back to the topic. So there is a professor of hydrology at the University of Utah. He said, these towns are canaries in the coal mine. They can't count to go to the tap and turn on their water. Climate change is coming home to roost right now, and it's hitting us hard. So I don't know if you got a chance to ever go back and listen to our episode this year with Eric Corey.
Okay.
So he's a sustainability director from Canon Design, and he has been studying climate change and everything. And he basically, in our episode, in so many words, said that, you know, we're too late. There's no turning back.
Wow.
The damage is done. Okay. The only thing we can do is mitigate it at this point and just try to slow it to some extent.
Okay.
So yeah, this water thing, I think it's going to be
maybe it's just a lot bigger issue, right? It's kind of like the tip of the sword.
Oh yeah, like there's definitely going to be some significant changes as we get along in this over the years. I feel like 2040 is probably going to be a big year where we start to dramatically see differences.
Why'd you pick that?
That's just kind of a convergence of where all the numbers are hovering around of predictions,
Okay. I mean,
in various different areas.
I'll be close to 60 at that point, so maybe that's when I start being like, I just don't care.
Yeah, you're just sitting in your
It's your
rocking
problem.
chair.
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
your problem, somebody else's.
that's the problem. It's that sort of thinking. We got to do something.
Oh, man.
So yeah, that's in Utah. That's kind of where they're at. They're actually starting to implement some of these things that we talked about in California, where they're cutting back on water usage. But the thing that they have to balance is it's a lot of farmland in that area where they use a ton of water as
Okay.
is. So it's going to be tough for them to come out of this.
Well, I think the other part just that area in general has seen so much growth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like massive amounts of growth in the last few years. I mean, everybody's going out there, kind of like that article says, right? Commercial, residential, like it's been one of the biggest places that's boomed, period, in the last few years.
We're going to take a quick break to share a little bit more about our sponsors. What if you could visualize your building in a couple of clicks, remove months from the design process, or create a bridge between stakeholders to solve problems before they even come up? Our friends at Twinmotion offer simple, real-time visualization for architects. Their technology lets you view and edit your scene on the go in the same pixel-perfect quality as the final rendering. Twinmotion seamlessly integrates with other tools like SketchUp and Revit, transforming your BIM or CAD models into high-quality images, panoramas, VR videos, or presentations. Sound complicated? Well, what if I told you that Twinmotion enables anyone to present the biggest ideas in the easiest way possible, regardless of previous CG experience? To download your exclusive free trial, head to twinmotion.link/spaces. That's twinmotion.link/spaces. Section Cut by Monograph. Monograph is building a community of like-minded firm owners and operations leaders who are looking for solutions that align with their firm's values. On top of that, Monograph is building the only cloud-based practice operations software built exclusively for architects by architects. Monograph's easy-to-use and beautifully designed software allows you and your team to know in near real time whether you are on pace to deliver a project on budget. With Monograph, you and your team can plan project schedules, budgets, role assignments, and team members all in one place. The best part of Monograph? It doesn't require a degree in finance to use. To experience the difference today, sign up for a free trial at monograph.com. And to underscore their commitment, on August 12th, Monograph will be hosting their first ever virtual conference. It's called Section Cut. This one-day event brings firm owners, operations leaders, and project leaders together to learn from success stories and workshops, all with the goal of improving their business. Reserve a seat at Section Cut today by visiting sectioncut.com. So I had this crazy idea. Tell me what you think of it.
It's crazy.
So I don't know the feasibility of it, but I was just thinking, there's tons of wasted water in the east when it snows like crazy, hurricanes and all these storms. How insane would it be, or possible, if we developed some sort of infrastructure that pumped, like you collect all that snow and direct all of that rain into these tanks that cart it over to some facility and pump it to the west? Is that insane?
Well, I mean, I think no, I don't think it is, because I think you're going to look at having to do something like that in the future,
Yeah.
right? So I don't think it's completely insane. Is it a massive undertaking?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think when you look at what you're going to have to do to current infrastructure to be able to make those types of things happen, because really what you're looking at is almost like well gatherings, right? Like a well system gathering. So you're going to have to dig into all these different types of areas and whatever to allow the stuff to seep in, to be able to then pump out a tank or ship or however you want to do that. So unless you've got these massive open fields, which now you're digging into people's property to do that, and you're probably talking to eminent domain and all the crap that goes along with that, right? It's a massive undertaking. But that's the same thing I think about, right? Like you look at where we were at as a tropical place, it rains all the time. It's like, now granted, it's on an island, it's a little bit different, but it's like, how do you capitalize on that? And I think that was the main idea of all the aqueducts that used to run, right? I mean, that's essentially what that is, right? It's taking water from places that have
Too
seemingly,
much.
yeah, so much that it causes problems at times, you know what I mean? And bringing it to a different location. So it's not crazy because we do that, and it's what we're going to have to do. I think the bigger thing is how and when do you start the undertaking into getting into those unseen infrastructures? You know what I mean? The stuff where you do that. And then I can't even talk about the implications because I'm sure there's going to be some like the same people that are talking about the earth is going to die because all the weather change are going to talk about how now you're shifting, you're messing with the ecosystem at that point, right? Is what they're going to start saying. So, you know, I mean, I well beyond my pay grade. I just know from the construction side how much that would take to do that. And it's an obscene amount of work and years and years and years of planning.
I
You
mean,
know,
but how many jobs do you create
tons. I mean,
by
if you
doing
look at, I mean, if
it?
you look at, it's kind of like looking at like the oil pipeline, right? And those types of things. You know, it's essentially the same idea. You know, you're pulling oil out of the earth and you're pumping it all the way across wherever and having to get rights and fight with the rights to do all these things. And, you know, I mean, you're talking about airspace, lands, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? And if water becomes the biggest commodity, well, man, that's a whole nother fight. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of years.
Well, I don't think you, with what I'm thinking, it's not necessarily a whole lot of digging in several, well, I guess the pipe
You're thinking
itself.
massive catch cans, like just huge,
Well,
like rain barrels.
essentially like locations where we convert these office buildings that are no longer used and turn them into water collection facilities, ship them to this other location where the pipe happens, and run that pipe all the way across to another facility that distributes all across the West.
I mean, I think it's possible.
Because we're going to have to figure out something, I think.
Well, everything can't just stop because of it.
Because we ca in California, we came out of the drought. What was it? Was that 2 years ago? Because we had been
Then
in
just
a
went right back
drought.
into
Yeah, because we had been in a drought for years. And we officially came out for, I don't know, some months.
A blink, yeah.
And then I remember driving around and some of our hillsides were just lush green. And it looked like we were in Hawaii, because you could see the ocean off in the background. And it's like, this is amazing.
And now it's all fire tinder.
Now we already have one fire started.
Did we?
But oh yeah, there's one right now up north.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Oregon, I believe. I think there's a big one. So, but we'll get into that too later.
Fire season.
So now we're back in a drought. Everything is dry, and who knows what's going to happen next after that.
Yeah, it's always something.
But I think we have to start thinking about other options. One of the other things we'll talk about that I want to do an episode on, probably next year, because we won't be able to pull it together this year, but desalination
Been a huge topic for years.
and basically what goes into creating that, because we have, the world is 70% water. How do you capitalize on some of that? And then you have to think about that balance of not taking too much water from the ocean, because population growth doesn't seem to be slowing down necessarily either. So we're going to figure out something very, very soon.
I'm gonna have to.
So I think we'll wrap that here. But if you want to check that out, that article is in the New York Times right now. If you can get behind the paywall, the article is called "A Drought So Dire That a Utah Town Pulled the Plug on Growth" by Jack Healy and Sophie Kasakov. So you can check them out. We'll put a link in our show notes as well. But thanks for joining me again, Jason. To the listeners, thank you for listening, and we will talk again on Thursday. Thanks. Thank you to Twin Motion for their support of this podcast episode. Don't forget to visit twinmotion.link/spaces today and try TwinMotion for free. Thank you to Monograph for their support of this podcast episode. To reserve a seat at their first ever interactive virtual conference, visit sectioncut.com today. Thanks again for listening. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually in putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.